Back in the year 1843, a man was born who, during his lifetime, was to have a profound effect on literally millions of people. His name was Russell Herman Conwell. He became a lawyer, then a newspaper editor, and finally a clergyman in 1881. It was during this latter period that an incident occurred which was to change his life and the lives of countless others. One day a group of boys came to Dr. Conwell at his church and asked him if he would be willing to instruct them in college courses. They wanted a college education but lacked the money to attend. He told them he'd do all he could, and as the boys left, a thought, an idea began forming in Dr. Conwell's mind. He asked himself, why couldn't there be a fine college for poor but deserving young men? Here was a great idea, and he went to work on it at once. Almost single-handedly, Dr. Conwell raised between $6 and $8 million with which he founded the now well-known Temple University of Philadelphia. It was how he raised this money that I want to tell you about. He raised the money by giving lectures all over the country, more than 6,000 of them, and in each he told a story called Acres of Diamonds. This was a true story which had affected him very deeply, just as it affected his audiences. It was the story of a farmer who had settled in Africa. This farmer had heard the exciting stories of other African settlers who had made millions by discovering diamond mines. Realizing the African continent was rich in diamonds, the farmer could hardly wait to sell his farm and search for diamonds himself. He spent the rest of his life wandering the vast African continent, searching for the gleaming gems which brought such high prices on the markets of the world, but without success. Finally, in a sudden fit of despondency, broke and desperate, as I remember the story, he threw himself into a river and drowned. During this time, the man who had bought his farm one day found a large and unusual stone in the stream which cut through the property. It turned out to be a great diamond of enormous value, and then he discovered that his farm was covered with them. It was to become one of the world's richest diamond mines. Now, the first farmer had owned literally acres of diamonds, but had sold them for practically nothing in order to look for them elsewhere. If he had only taken the time and study to know what diamonds looked like in their rough state, and had first thoroughly explored the land he had owned, he would have had the millions he sought, right on the land he had been living upon. What so profoundly affected Dr. Conwell, and subsequently thousands of others, was the obvious fact that each of us is, at this moment, standing in the middle of his own acres of diamonds. If we will only have the wisdom and patience to intelligently and effectively explore the work in which we are now engaged, we will usually find that it contains the riches we seek, whether they be financial or intangible or both. Before we go running off to what we think are greener pastures, let's make sure that our own is not just as green, or perhaps even greener. While we're looking at other pastures, other people are looking at ours. There's nothing more pitiful to my mind than the person who wastes his life running from one thing to another, like the first farmer, forever looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and never staying with one thing long enough to find it. For no matter what your goal may be, the road to it can be found somewhere in the work in which you now find yourself. It wasn't until he was completely paralyzed, for example, and was forced to reach into the resources of his mind, that a Wisconsin farmer got the idea of producing exceptionally good meat products on his farm, and one of the country's largest meatpacking companies was born. His farm contained acres of diamonds, too. He had just never seen them before. A paper salesman found a dirty drinking glass in his hotel room and gave his company the idea of manufacturing paper cups, an idea that solved his financial problems for life. An insurance man got the idea of going back to all the people in his files and really working with them, serving them the way they should be served. That year he wrote an additional $700,000 of insurance, made the million-dollar round table, and found he no longer had to approach cold prospects, that by working with the people he had already sold and on their referrals, he had acres of diamonds right in his filing cabinet. A man out west amassed a fortune with a single small gas station. In the beginning, when things were tough, he would ask himself each morning, "What can I do to increase my service to my customers?" He still asks that question of himself each morning when he gets up, and while he could have retired years ago a wealthy man, he continues to dominate the business in his area by thinking of new and better ways to be of service. Do you know what the so-called average man would have done in this last case? He would have been worried about how bad business was, because in the beginning my friend had a hard time just feeding his family. When one day a man would have driven in the station in a big, shiny car. This average man, seeing the wealthy customer, would have said to himself, I ought to be in his business instead of mine. You see, the average man believes some businesses are better than others, instead of realizing the truth that there are no bad businesses. There are just those people who do not know enough to see the opportunities in the work they're in. Jobs don't have futures. People do. No matter what our work happens to be, it's our business. We're its manager. If we can see no future or opportunity in it, it isn't because it's not there, but only because we can't see it. One time another farmer poked a tiny pumpkin into an empty 1 gallon jug. The pumpkin grew until it completely filled the jug and could grow no more. When it was ripe, the farmer broke the glass jug and had a pumpkin which had assumed the jug's exact shape. In life, each of us does a similar thing. We poke ourselves into jugs of our own deciding, and we can grow no larger. But let's be mature enough to realize that it is we who do the poking, not the job, nor the company, nor the territory, nor the economy, nor the times. We do it. We should dispense with limitations and realize there is virtually no limit to our growth and development on the land on which we now find ourselves, with our roots deep in the soil of a working philosophy of life and our minds and bodies in a climate of freedom. People who become outstanding at their work are those who have seen their work as an opportunity for growth and development and who have prepared themselves for the opportunities which surround us every day. It was Matthews who wrote, "Unless a man has trained himself for his chance, the chance will only make him ridiculous. A great occasion is worth to a man exactly what his preparation enables him to make of it." Preparation is the key. It is becoming so good, so competent at what we're now doing, we'll actually force the opportunities we seek to come our way, as come our way they will. Now, let's see how we can fully explore and evaluate the place in which we now find ourselves. Let's take a closer look at our acres of diamonds. Imagination, creative imagination, comes from realizing that diamonds don't look like diamonds in their rough state, nor does a pile of iron ore look like iron or steel. Great opportunities lurk constantly in every aspect of the work in which we now find ourselves. In order to begin prospecting your acres of diamonds, begin to develop a faculty called intelligent objectivity. That is, we often have to stand off and look at what we're doing as a stranger might, a stranger who considers our pasture greener than his own. So to do this, start at the beginning. Within the framework of what industry or profession does our job fall? Do we know all we can know about our own industry? How did it begin? Why did it begin? Who started it and when? What is our industry's annual dollar volume? How fast has it grown during the past 20 years? What is its projected growth during the next 10 years? Do you know that many industries will double in size during the next 10 years? This is almost a 10% gain per year. In short, start now to become a student of your industry. You'll be amazed at the results. In 5 years or less, you can become a national expert in your field. And remember, it's the experts who write their own tickets in life. Just think of this for a moment. If you can see no limit to the growth of your industry, doesn't it make sense to realize that there is no limit as to how far you can progress within its framework? Surveys indicate that the great majority of people seem to look at their jobs as being as far as they'll go. Why? We should realize how really desperately an expanding and dynamic industry needs and seeks the uncommon man to share in its growth. It will richly reward this person of vision who prepares himself to move up as his industry grows larger. So ask yourself this question. Do I know as much about my job and my industry as a good doctor or attorney knows about his job within the framework of his profession? You should, you know. This is the attitude of the person who wants to become a professional at what he does for a living. It's far more fun, many times more rewarding and interesting, and in this way a person can ride out the occasional dips in the economic seas in a safe boat built of research and preparation. In order to become a pro, in what seems to be rapidly becoming a world of amateurs, we have three important subjects to study. 1, our company and the industry in which it operates. 2, our job, and perhaps the next step on that job. 3, the study of people, since successfully serving and getting along with people will determine our success or failure. Here are three subjects on which you can gradually build a fine home library. Your bookstore clerk will help you find the right books if you'll tell him what you want to know. Frequently, all we need in order to make an enormous improvement is simply the reminding of things we've known but have forgotten. Perhaps this study and research on your job, your industry, and ways of increasing your service to others sounds like a big job. Well, it is. but in the long run it pays tremendous dividends, builds complete security, and it can be accomplished in an hour or so a day devoted to reading and making notes in a permanent notebook. One book or article at a time, an hour a day, will find you becoming an expert at your particular job and industry in 5 years or less. The hours add up, one at a time, like the great stones of a pyramid, building a strong and permanent foundation which raises you a layer at a time toward the goal you seek. Each morning, as you get ready for work, ask yourself this question: how can I increase my service today? Then, during the hour a day you set aside for study and research, make notes and think about your industry, about your job and company, and about people. You will gradually begin to get better and better ideas for improving your service. Remember these words: no man can become rich without enriching others. Anyone who adds to prosperity must prosper in turn. Think of ways and means by which you can increase your contribution to your company, industry, and to those you serve. You'll begin to notice a wonderful change in your world, for as ye sow, so shall ye reap. The minute you adopt this attitude, you've joined the top 5% of the people of the world. You've virtually removed all competition. You are creating rather than competing. You are becoming a contributor instead of a feeder. By taking this attitude toward your work, your company, and industry, you're automatically taking care of two vital parts of successful living. One, you'll find yourself becoming interested and enthusiastic about your work and its future, and this interest and enthusiasm is contagious. And two, you're building financial security which will last a lifetime. Above all, keep this thought in mind as often as you can, on and off the job. Somewhere within the work you are now doing, there lurks an opportunity which will bring you everything you could possibly want for yourself and your family. It will not be labeled opportunity. It'll be hidden in common everyday garments, just as was the hairpin with which a man fashioned the first paperclip, or the dirty drinking glass which triggered the paper cup industry, or the commonplace set of names of old customers which became the fortune of a salesman. Now, in closing, here are 12 points to remember. 1. If we will develop the wisdom and patience to intelligently and effectively explore the work in which we are now engaged, we will find it contains the riches, tangible and intangible, we seek. 2. Before we go running off to what we think are greener pastures, let's realize our own pasture is unlimited. 3. That there are no bad jobs, but that it's the way in which we go about our work which makes it good or bad. 4. That we poke ourselves into jugs beyond which we cannot grow. Let's remove the limitations we've set upon ourselves. 5. That only preparation can ensure our taking advantage of the opportunities which will present themselves in the future, opportunities which are around us now. 6. Put your imagination to work on the many ways and means of improving what you're now doing. 7. Learn all you can about your job, your company, and your industry. 8. Since there's no limit to the growth of your industry, it must follow there is similarly no limit on your growth potential within that industry. 9. Our dynamic and growing economy needs and will well reward the uncommon man who seeks a place in this growth. 10. Begin to build your library of reference material pertaining to your company, industry, job, and on how to better serve and get along with people. 11. Set aside an hour a day for this study and research. And 12. Remember the story of the Acres of Diamonds. This is Earl Nightingale. Thank you.